to Saturday Morning Tooncast on the Heroes Podcast Network with your host Jeremy Munkin.
And Danielle Yeager.
This is the show where we take a trip down Cartoon Lane and watch some animated faves from when we were kids.
All over a bowl of kids' cereal, which we'll discuss after the cartoons.
Well, do we want to hop right in and say what the cereal is, since we'll be snacking on it during the show?
Yeah, so I picked this cereal this week. So last week we had, what was it called, Frankenberry?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to keep with the theme of October and Halloween kind of stuff. So I picked Booberry, which is another one in that line, along with, what is it called, Count Dracula?
Count Chocula.
Chocula. It's blood flavored.
It's interesting that the chocolate, or the actual pieces, like the non-marshmallow pieces, look like they're chocolate. Chocolate.
Yes, chocolate.
They're very chocolate.
Yeah, so I apparently they're like berry flavored, so I guess they're supposed to be blue or purple, but yes, they look brown. Very brown.
Well, we'll talk about those after we get to the actual cartoons here.
Although,
but
I will say, have you had Booberry?
I have not had Booberry.
I haven't either, so this should be a shared experience.
I don't even know if I've had Count Chocula, which I think is the more common one.
Yeah, except at the store, I couldn't find that one. I can only find the other two.
I was always a Corn Pops kid. Oh. What was yours?
My favorite cereal growing up was the Fruity Pebbles, which I was never allowed to have.
Oh.
I was never allowed to have sugary cereal, so so I had like Cheerios and Grape Nuts.
I was talking to my girlfriend about this. Were Kix sugary cereal, or were they like the non-sugary cereal?
I remember them being a kid's cereal.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably sugary, but they might have been one of the like less sugary kid's cereal. Mm. But like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it's all carbs anyway.
Right.
So before we hop into our cartoons, I wanted to throw down a little cartoon news. There are a couple things that came out in the past week or so. At New York Comic Con, they unveiled a trailer for the new Hey Arnold movie, and it's the first new Hey Arnold content for, what, like, it's got to be at least 10 years.
At least. I think it ended in, like, 2004 around then.
Yeah, so they dropped a trailer at New York Comic Con for a Hey Arnold movie called The Jungle Movie, which will be coming out on November 24th. We just watched the trailer a minute ago. What do you think?
I'm super excited because the series ends with him. It's like a focus on his family and like what happened with his parents, because you don't really hear about that for the first, you know, however many seasons, which is a lot. And so it kind of ends on this emotional place. So it's kind of cool to bring it around and maybe get some closure on his family story.
Yeah, I mean, they never really talked about his folks, did they? I mean,
they do at the very last season.
Oh, is that like the series finale?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you find out why he's with his grandparents and what happened to his parents. And he like finds their diary at the end of the series, and he learns all about their adventures, but never it doesn't resolve really.
I'll have to rewatch the last season or something before that movie.
Yeah, we should, and then we should watch the movie.
Okay. Another big thing that came out this past week is they are releasing Batman the Animated Series on Blu-ray, which is something a lot of people have been waiting for. What's your relation with Batman the Animated Series? I was obsessed with it.
I think I only watched that as an adult. It was on like Amazon Prime for a little while.
I think it still is.
Okay. So I watched it on there like more recently, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So I don't have like a nostalgic history with it, but more like I think it's a show that carries.
Oh yeah, it's still great.
So
I mean,
yeah,
that Bruce Timm animation style is timeless, and the writing was so good, and I don't know, everything about it is perfect.
So you're very excited then?
Hells yes. Mark Hamill is the Joker. That's my Joker.
Oh, and what I do like about the Hey Arnold, even after all the time, the characters, like, the artwork doesn't look that much different, and the voices sound the same, because that really throws you off if they try to bring something back, and it sounds and looks very different.
Yeah, watching it kind of reminded me of how I felt when they first started doing the stuff about the Simpsons movie, where it, because I kind of fell off of the Simpsons fandom when it went, like, full digital and stopped being hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And this, like, I'm pretty sure they were still hand-drawing Hey Arnold, or they're probably computer-coloring it, but hand-drawing it. And this one looks like it's fully digitally rendered.
It does.
And it's, like, much crisper frame rates and everything, so it just looks like a more polished version of the old thing that we're used to. And also, like the Simpsons movie, there's a pig.
I know. That reminded me of, too, but Arnold always had a pig.
Yeah, but the I was reminded.
It was a focus, though. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Okay, is there any other comic news, cartoon news?
Not that I know of.
Me neither. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get to the cartoons, then, that we are watching.
Yeah, what do you have for me first?
So, also in theme with the...
Booberry.
Spooky, spooky cereal. And what I was thinking about during last week's episode, I want to do Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that.
Did you ever watch Beetlejuice?
Never.
No?
I loved the movie as a kid, which is, has nothing to do with...
Yeah.
It's not animated at all, so I'm curious to see how...
Yeah, it was a weird one. So looking into it, I remembered it being a cartoon, but I didn't realize how big of a cartoon it was.
Yeah.
So
I assume it came after the movie?
Okay. So the movie came out in, I think, 88 or 89, and the show, or no, this movie was 88, and the show premiered in 89 in Canada. It was a Canadian production company, but, I mean, it played here, too.
Okay.
So it was developed and executive produced by Tim Burton, and the music was done by Danny Elfman, so it was, like, the people that did the movie.
So it should be high quality.
Yeah.
My expectations are high, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. He didn't write it, so...
Okay.
Hold on. It's one of the only cartoons, and it might be the only cartoon that ever concurrently ran on both ABC and Fox.
Huh.
Because they were running the reruns weekdays, like that after school block where they would run second run cartoons. So that was on weekdays, and then it was on Fox on the weekends for the new episodes.
The premieres. Okay.
So it ran for 4 seasons, 94 episodes. The first season was only 12 episodes, and then seasons 2 and 3 were 8 episodes, and then season 4 was 65 episodes. So it was kind of a weird series order there.
Very.
Ran between December 1989 and December 1991. In 1990, it won the Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program.
Oh, cool.
Which is kind of a big deal.
My expectations are still high, then.
Yeah. So I kind of poked around to a few different episodes. Might want to lower those expectations a little bit. It's definitely kind of that 90s gross-out kid humor.
Okay.
Like Garbage Pail Kids and stuff like that, where it's like... Boogers, ha ha ha, puke.
Very early 90s.
Yeah. So...
So what episode do you have for me?
It is called The Prince of the Netherworld, I think. We can get back to that when we actually watch it.
Okay, are there any good voice actor names?
So Beetlejuice is played by Stephen Umetto, I think. I did very French spelling on the name, so I don't know how that's pronounced exactly. He's not a big cartoon guy, but he did do Archangel on the X-Men the Animated Series.
Okay.
Warren Worthington. Lydia Dietz is played by Allison Court, who has played the voice of Claire Redfield in every Resident Evil game.
Oh, okay.
So she's a big games voice actor.
Gotcha.
And the air date of the episode that we're about to watch was November 18th, 1989.
I would have been... I would have been 6 months old ish.
Oh,
five
wow.
months.
So you probably don't remember the original this
one. I watched the original airing as a 5 month old. Yeah.
I mean, I would have been 5, so I don't have a real strong recollection, but I do remember that I watched every weekend. Okay, so let's go watch it.
Time for cereal.
Okay, and we're back. So the name of that one was The Prince of the Netherworld.
Yeah, when I read it originally, I thought it was saying Netherworld, and then throughout the episode when they all said Netherworld, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not the Netherworld. They're not in hell. That would be too scary. It's the Netherworld.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
So I thought the opening scene, like the opening, what's that called? Like the opening credit kind of scene.
Intro.
The intro, yeah. Was great. It was very in line with the Beetlejuice movie, like the kind of the colors, the swirliness. I thought even like the voice acting, because I know it's not the actual characters from the movie, was pretty on par with the characters in the movie. So I liked that. I liked that it was so much pulling from the actual movie. And
yeah, I mean,
really,
he does a really good Michael Keaton impersonation, or he does a good impersonation of Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice,
right?
And yeah, I mean, the opening credits and end credits are both Danny Elfman, who did the music for the movie, and it's Tim Burton, so a lot of those original players. And I mean, this is right off the heels of the movie, so
right.
It was pretty fresh.
Yeah, so this episode was Prince of the Neither World, like you said.
Prince Vince.
I thought this storyline wasn't the most interesting thing, but it was still good.
Yeah. I mean, so in later seasons, I think they went down to, like, the 11-minute normal kids cartoon length, and this was a full, like, 20-minute...
which I think is hard for a kids show.
Yeah, because, like, normally with a 30-minute show, you have, like, an A story and a B story and like, actual plot progression. This
right.
is all one linear thing. I mean, I guess... So the plot is Prince Vince, the Prince of the Neither World, needs a court jester, and Beetlejuice wants to be the court jester so that he can pull fun pranks on everyone.
The whole reason he needs a court jester is because he's utterly depressed.
Yes, he's very morose. I mean, he's kind of like a Poe character. He's like,
yes.
He's constantly quoting sad poetry and lamenting everything and being very forlorn.
Yes, and rain just follows him around.
Yeah. Which, so a lot of the advertising for the show and explanations of the show describe Lydia as goth, and she kind of dresses like a prototypical goth girl,
uh-huh.
but he's goth. Like he's,
right, in personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when Beetlejuice is kind of trying out or whatever, he the prince ends up getting a crush on Lydia, and so that's kind of where the story goes there, is Beetlejuice gives him advice on how to win Lydia over. And originally I thought, oh, he's giving him, like, really terrible advice, probably. And then it's like, oh, no, that's actually what Lydia likes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see that dynamic, especially given the fact that he tried to marry Lydia in the movie.
Right.
Like, Lydia was an object of his affection, which was a very creepy and kind of the primary conflict near the end of Beetlejuice. And
mm-hmm.
now he's like, hey, date my kid pal Lydia, where it's like, oh, okay, so this is a much different dynamic.
Except that towards the end of it, he's jealous and like, he still calls Lydia babe and, like,
yeah, he calls her
monopolizes
babe.
Her time.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy. Still.
Yeah, it's a very questionable relationship. I don't know that would fly if they tried to do this show now.
Right.
So there's very, like I said, that very kind of Garbage Pail Kids humor.
Uh-huh.
Or Corn on the Slob.
Right. And there's a lot of puns, and there's a lot of, which this is funny for an animated show, there's a lot of, like, looking at the camera and being like, nudge, nudge
yeah.
to us.
It's like fourth wall breaking when there's barely three walls to begin
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've remembered that, when Beetlejuice teleports and he's constantly flying and teleporting and changing shapes and doing bits because he's a wacky guy. But every time he teleports, he always leaves an empty tin can with a crudely opened lid.
Oh.
It's like,
uh-huh.
it's always that and a bat and a worm and just combinations of that where it's like, it's kind of that very, very generic Halloween aesthetic, and that kind of goes to Boo Berry and the Franken cereals and whatnot, where it's just like universal monsters and then gross things. Like, that's kind of what became Nightmare Before Christmas, which is also Tim Burton.
Right, definitely. I mean, this is definitely a little more gross than that, but yes.
Yeah.
Even, so, like, they have all the puns and stuff. They even have, like, the very exaggerated sound effects to, like,
yeah.
feel this way, know that this is funny. So it's very
well, and it was
cheesy.
It was so stupid, but it was also hilarious with the two guys and the third guy. So they kept saying, like,
yeah,
he's just so depressing. And then there was a third guy who would nod his head, and it was just the sound of a cowbell.
Yeah.
And he just looked at the camera, and
the
it was like, dunk, dunk,
bummer,
dunk.
Isn't it?
Yeah, what a bummer. They kept calling him a bummer.
Yeah. I also thought it was funny that whenever he's sad, he's technically, like, dabbing. Like, he bends the one arm.
Oh, he
and
was kind of dabbing,
face
yeah.
And his other arm out. And I just thought that was funny. Maybe
he's,
dabbing originated in this episode.
He was proto-dabbing. Yeah, so, yeah, another thing, I mean, a lot of, just so much of the animation was exaggerated, too, not just the sound effects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where a lot of other, like, you wouldn't see that much distortion. Like, his arm would be, like, separated from his body if he felt like it, and his head would be, like, three times the size of his body, and
right.
then real small, and it's like, they were using a lot of kind of weird forced perspective, but just overall, just kind of nonsensical drawing, like, it was all over the place.
Right, well, I mean, you think about the Beetlejuice movie, and all of the, like, swirly objects, and, like, the movie tried to make this weird visual effect, so I feel like they're maybe trying to imitate yeah. that. But my one question is, what are Beetlejuice's magical abilities? Because, like, you think about the movie, and, like, he has the magical abilities of being a ghost, which any other ghost should have. Is kind of, like, he's been a ghost a long time, and he's kind of
yeah.
utilized his skill, but, like, in this world, he seems to be the only one with magical abilities, unless you count making clouds rain on you when you're sad.
Well, Danielle, I don't know if you know this, but he is the ghost with the most. So it stands to reason that he would have the most abilities.
Oh, well, it seems like no one else has any abilities.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah,
it's a little questionable.
I mean, and it kind of goes back to it being the neither world. It's hard to know if these are supposed to be undead or monsters or magical, because he's...
Yeah.
Because, like, everything's kind of warped. I don't know. Because, I mean, going back to the movie, it's a sandworm really doesn't have anything to do with undeath or
right.
or the afterlife. But
so there's multiple worlds here, and so kind of what you're saying.
Which, it just seems to be a nonsense world. It's like,
yeah.
it's not really about... And so one thing you mentioned was... There's a common factor in the episodes of the Beetlejuice animated series where there are the hairy guy with the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Who has a hairy dog who looks like he's the
yes.
same race, but just smaller, so which is weird. Kind of a goofy Pluto
mm-hmm.
Situation there. You have a French skeleton
mm-hmm.
Who is obsessed with physical fitness. And then a tap dancing spider who kind of reminds me of that Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
Whatever her name is. But yeah, so like French skeleton, that's very undead, big hairy man's not so
right.
much afterlife.
Just a monster, basically.
Yeah, and then a spider that's just a happy cartoon spider.
Right,
like,
that tap dances, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so funny. When those pulled up, I said immediately to Jeremy... Like, wait, I know these characters,
yeah.
and why do I know those characters better than I know, like, the Beetlejuice characters?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm gonna have to go back to this show, and you said they come up more in the later seasons and
yeah, I was,
figure it out.
So this was an episode from the first season, and I think those focus much more on the Beetlejuice-Lydia dynamic. But I believe in later seasons, especially season 4, you start seeing Lydia interacting more with her classmates, and there was, like, a very put-together blonde girl that was, like, her nemesis that was
mm-hmm.
always trying to defeat Lydia for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Which,
since I was so young when this first season came out, it makes more sense that maybe if I've seen any of this, it would have been the maybe last season that you said was a lot of episodes.
Yeah, because they went into syndication, so I think that they aired for a good long while, but they just stopped putting out new ones in 91, so they probably would have continued on until, like, 93.
Right, but you said, like, the last season has, like, 60-some episodes, and
yeah,
the first 65. Only has 12. So it would have made sense that that's what I would have seen the most of.
Yeah.
So.
Another thing I noticed, Prince Vince takes Lydia on a date to a drive-in theater, and they have a, what did they call it, scumming attractions?
Yes.
Hilarious.
Lots and lots of puns. I also thought that was interesting. They changed, like, the art style for the movie.
Well, yeah, that was what I was going to mention. They do, you see it a little bit in the intro sequence, too, that they would always do these things that were, like, these crudely done... I don't know if it's technically CG, but it's obviously not hand-drawn. It's, like, it's still images that are moved around. But they did a lot of CG things where it was always, like, a skull or a weird head. I don't know. I think they did that for, like, news reports. You'd always see a news report from a weird CG skull that would kind of give the story
yeah.
a push.
This is all sounding more and more familiar, so I do think I watched this
yeah.
as a kid. But that's the thing about me. If
like,
I haven't,
unlocking nostalgia.
Yeah. If I haven't watched something in the last 10 years, I'm not going to remember it very well. So that's something I have to explore.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I love how stupid the show is, because it's just, like, everything is... how about some boogers come out of your nose? And, like, how about there's a bat? And he's like, oh, heavens. It's like, well, you live in this world, dude. Like, Prince Vince, if this is the world that you preside over where everything is, like, a shocking mall and the discount snake store.
Why is he not in it? Like, I guess that's why he's so sad, because he doesn't fit into his own kingdom.
I guess. I wonder if he's, like... He's, like, traded from a different sad kingdom. He doesn't belong here.
Maybe. But it's funny, he's a prince. There's no king or queen anywhere, so I'm not sure how that works, but...
Beetlejuice's mailbox says BJ.
Yeah, I know
that. That's funny. And I don't know if that... I assume BJ was a term in the 90s. It's not like they were just... like, oh, we didn't know. Right. But I was looking at episode titles, and there are a few that just say, like, BJ does this, or, like, the something of BJ. It's like, oh, hey, that's interesting.
We want to say BJ a lot. Well, that's so 90s, too, like, to sneak BJ's adult things into... Well, yeah.
They were real hot in the 90s.
Yeah. But to sneak kind of more adult things into cartoons. Now it's like there's adult themes in kids' cartoons, but it's not necessarily, like... We're trying to be sneaky and put this joke in for adults.
Yeah, and the writing wasn't dumbed down in this, which I liked. I mean, the jokes were stupid and they're dumb puns. But, like, he calls him... Beetlejuice calls Prince Vince a pathetic potentate. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not kids writing. And,
right.
They did a lot of callbacks, which are a like, a adult comedy convention where, like, Beetlejuice sold the... Yeah, it's... auto-playing in the next room. We could kind of hear the next episode of Beetlejuice in the background. Hopefully that's not being picked up. But,
yeah, I think my only issue with it was the fact that it was the whole episode for one story when there wasn't an A-B story.
Yeah, so it felt
dragged on a little bit because of that.
Yeah, once you kind of get the idea that Lydia was, I don't know, she just seemed real happy about it, but then she was like, oh, we're just friends. Yeah. And it's like that was the beginning and ending of the actual plot arc, is that Lydia just wants to be friends with the prince.
Right.
Because Lydia wants to be friends with all kinds of ooky spooky monsters and creepy things, because Lydia's...
Yeah.
Only likes monsters, I guess.
Apparently. So it just seems like the story was secondary to just, like, the funny little jokes. So, and it sounds like maybe they gave it a little bit more depth later on.
Yeah. So, like I said before we watched, this was made in Canada. And I never really knew that, because, I mean, I was too young to know what that would possibly mean. But I noticed she said, sorry, Beetlejuice. Uh-huh. She was, like, very Canadian delivery.
That's funny.
But, yeah, the after a mini-golf date and a drive-in date, Lydia rejects the prince's advances. He tries to get her to become his princess. And she...
But she still cures him of his morose.
Yeah, because she said it's okay to just be friends, which is a nice message for kids, that you shouldn't, not everything should be about getting it done.
Getting it done.
Yep. But yeah, I'm gonna have to watch another one of those, because I want to see that French Skeleton some more. Get some fitness tips.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to...
What his deal is.
I need to watch the later season, too, because I for sure remember that. Cool, so... You ready for my episode?
Oh, I am. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, get ready. It's my favorite cartoon of all time.
Hey, Arnold.
No.
Oh.
Okay, so I kind of broke our rule a little bit, and this is a little bit of a more adult cartoon, but I watched it when I was like 10, I think. 10 to 12 was like the prime time it was on TV for me. So, I didn't really think of it that much as a more adult cartoon, but then when I researched it, it was on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network.
That was later, though. I mean, say the name of the cartoon.
So, the cartoon is Home Movies.
But yeah, it didn't originally air on Adult Swim. That was when it reran, like, years and years later.
Right. Well, that's where I watched it. Mm-hmm. So, Home Movies, the episode I picked is going to be Season 3, Episode 13, Coffins and Cradles. Because I wanted to stick with our Halloween theme. So it's a Halloween special episode. So Home Movies was on 1999 to 2003. So it was a fairly short-lived series. It's kind of more of a cult classic almost. Like it got a lot more viewers once it was on Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And people kind of picked it up. And I have all of the DVDs of it or whatever, and they recorded, they made those much later than when the seasons aired, and they recorded all this extra content and all this, and I've watched all of the, like, you know, commentary,
special features,
and they just make so many jokes, like apparently we haven't watched these in 10 years, and, like, people love this show now, and they've been asking for it, so it's kind of a cool
thing. Home Movies was... So they did Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, originally. Lauren Bouchard and a lot of those voice actors, H. John Benjamin was in that, too. And that was all that squiggle vision, where that came from.
Yes.
And
which they do get rid of at a certain point in the Home Movies series.
Three, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's between Home Movies and Dr. Katz, which were their two big ones, they did a show called Science Court. Did you ever see that?
No.
That was a thing. I think it was on PBS. I'll have to look up more info about it. But yeah, it was also squiggle vision. It was a lot of the same voice actors. I know the girl kid from Home Movies was a voice.
Melissa,
yeah. Her voice actor was in that as well.
All the voice actors besides Coach McGurk, which I don't... But no, actually, including Coach McGurk, they all have the first names of their voice actors.
Yeah, John McGurk.
Uh-huh. Brendan Small, that's his whole name. Melissa, her name is Melissa, the Melissa Barden Glaske is the, so, like, that was always a thing. Okay, so it was originally aired on UPN, but it got canceled after 5 episodes because it just had low ratings, and then Cartoon Network picked it up, and it started on Adult Swim.
Was it Mission Hill on UPN, too?
I don't know. That would make sense.
I think it was.
It was... Lauren Bouchard created it, like you said. So he created... What was that psychiatrist?
Dr. Katz.
Dr. Katz. And then he is also the creator of Bob's Burgers. That's his other big show that's still... That's very successful.
Yep.
And then Brendan Small was the other creator of Home Movies. And he went on to do Metalocalypse after. And so... We've got John Benjamin is the biggest voice actor on this show. He plays Coach McGurk. He plays Bob from Bob Burgers. He plays Archer. Like, he's a very... And he just plays the same voice always, so he's a very recognizable voice.
Well, except he's also Jason, which is probably the biggest deviation.
True. But, I mean, when you hear his... Like, most of the time in his jobs, he plays... He has his voice, so, like, it sticks out like a sore thumb. You're like, oh, that's John Benjamin.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Brendan Small plays himself, and we mentioned some of the other ones. So the writers are Bill Bardas, and then Brendan Small is the other writer. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I really enjoy about Home Movies that I learned from watching the commentary is they did a lot of improv.
Yeah.
Which is really funny, especially considering John Benjamin played two characters. Like, some of the scenes where it's Coach McGurk and... Jason interacting, he just was, like, riffing.
Well, that's why you never really see those two interact.
It's true.
It was pretty rare to actually see Jason and Coach talking to each other in a scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, that goes back to Dr. Katz. They're a lot of Boston-based comics. I've seen them all live, and I've, like, read everything about them, so this is one that I'm definitely knowledgeable about. But they were, they started that Soup to Nuts is the production company.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of Boston-based comics that got together, and they were, like, recording somebody's closet and then just animated around these basically, like, improv skits that they would do together and just kind of shoot the shit.
Yeah.
That grew into this, like, animation empire that's now Bob's Burgers, which is one of the tentpole Fox Sunday night animation pieces.
Yeah, and I think that the reason Home Movies is so funny is because of that. Like, it has this absurdness to it. But it's not like it's a mature absurdness.
Well, yeah, it's you definitely see Brendan Small has the intelligence and kind of world weariness of an adult, but in the body of like an 8-year-old boy.
Yes,
like he is beaten down by reality.
Yes, so I chose an episode that would be a little bit more dived into the series because you know the first season it's very focused on Brendan and Coach. And his mom, and I wanted to utilize some of the other interesting dynamics that kind of come up throughout, like Walter and Perry, and, you know, as well as I wanted to do a Halloween episode just because we're on here. So we're into season three.
Episode 13.
So you're going to see a lot of different characters. It's a little bit more established. They've gotten rid of the squiggle vision. But it's... If I remember correctly, it's one of my favorite episodes. It's really funny, so...
If you remember it, it's your favorite. Okay. Well, I'm excited. It's one of my favorite shows.
I might say that about almost every episode, though. Okay. So, you know.
Well, let's go ahead and pause and give it a watch. Okay, and we're back.
And we're back.
Oh my god, I love home movies. That was so funny.
It's my all-time favorite show. Like... Nothing beats home movies to me.
Though we can definitely say that is not... I think the first two episodes are more kid-focused. This one involved a very large man getting a heart attack while fucking a hippie, so it might not be the most kid-friendly.
Right. So, you know, what did I say? It was 1999 to, like, 2003 or something, or 4, something like that.
Yeah, the release date on this episode specifically was 2003.
Yeah.
So this is near the end.
So I would have been freshman in high school in 2003. So, yeah, I think it kind of aged with the audience a little bit.
Yeah, I remember Home Movies was one of those DVDs, because when I was in college, there wasn't streaming or anything, but everybody had three different sets of DVDs. There was always, someone had the box set of Firefly, they had the first two seasons of Family Guy, and they had Home Movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... This episode, like you're saying, so it's a Halloween episode, but it kind of all stems around Coach McGurk getting a heart attack and Brendan's stepmother, Linda, having a baby. So we get all these funny scenes in a hospital.
Well, yeah, and like we were talking about the Beetlejuice episode where it only had one real arc, this one had an A, B, and C story. So the A story was Linda having the baby. Mm-hmm. B story was McGurk and Stephanie and their escapades. And then the C story was Jason being addicted to candy.
True, true. So I think that's what makes Home Movies so good is it's... There is a lot of depth to it, but, like, it... You know how even The Simpsons sometimes, like, it's like, this is the A story, and this is the B story. Like, Home Movies is very well integrated in their stories. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm switching between stories as much. Like, it feels very natural.
Yeah, and they always end up together, and everyone ends up learning the same lesson. So, yeah.
But, overall, if you have not watched Home Movies, it is one of the most hilarious shows you'll ever watch. Like, we were both cracking up and we've seen it multiple times.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this a million times. I mean, when this was airing on Adult Swim, I think it was before they... It was... So, like, right now they do, like, an hour of King of the Hill, and they used to do an hour of Family Guy.
And Futurama.
And Futurama, yeah. But there was a real long era where it was Home Movies, like two episodes of Home Movies.
Yeah.
Right after the Cartoon Network turned over to Adult Swim. And yeah, I watched these obsessively. But yeah, this is from that later era where they introduced Louis C.K. as Brendan's estranged father and his...
Yes.
His fiance and then wife and then baby mama, Laura.
Linda.
Mm-hmm. Linda? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She's played by Laura Silverman.
Yeah, so they stopped... So originally, like we said before, all of the characters were basically named after the voice actors. They kind of stopped doing that a little bit later on, but...
Well, Laura Silverman, who plays Linda, was also Laura on Dr. Katz.
Oh, okay.
And she is Sarah Silverman's sister.
Oh, cool. So yeah, there's some great exchanges between Brendan and Linda. Like, it's... Every time they're in an episode together,
they're just shouting profanity at each other, that is so funny.
So, since it was a Halloween episode, we get everyone kind of dressed in costumes. We get Melissa as the Grim Reaper, which, of course, comes up hilariously once she's in a hospital where people are worried about their health, and she's walking around as the Grim Reaper.
It was an odd take on the Grim Reaper. She had, like, a staff with shrunken heads on it, and, like, dreads. She was more like a voodoo priest than the Grim Reaper.
But... That's very true. We get... Jason is an insurance investor for some reason.
Well, yeah, he first said he's an insurance adjuster, then he said he was an insurance salesman, but he was just wearing a suit and glasses.
Yeah, so I think it was more to have this joke later on of death in a salesman than anything. Yeah, it seems to
all be back from that.
Josie, Brennan's little baby sister, is the devil, which I think is hilarious. Like, who dresses their baby up as the devil? Walter and Perry have a brief stint. With just hilarious interaction with Linda.
What, they called her like a trailer trash skank?
Yeah, it's like a whole long thing of insults to her, then she just slams the door while saying slam.
Yeah, and Walter and Perry are pretty much the prototype for, what are Jimmy Pesto's kids?
Oh, the twins?
Yeah, the twins, because they pretty much
Ollie
have that same...
And...
Ollie and... Not Uzi, those are from...
Ollie and something.
Yeah.
Ollie and... No, I don't remember.
But I forget if it's Ollie or the other one, but that's played by Sarah Silverman.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Connections.
And then, so they're a ghost, a Siamese twin ghost. Another episode that they're really great in that I almost picked, but I wanted to pick a Halloween episode, was the wedding episode where Brendan's dad and Linda get married, because there's hilarious, just one of my favorite scenes in home movies ever is this scene where Walter and Perry are joking about getting, or talking about getting married, and they're carrying each other and falling over. It's just amazing.
I think my favorite bit from home movies is when they do the Grease parody musical.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that song McGurk sings, but he can't roll down the window. And
yes.
He's like belting it out, but it's so quiet.
But it's actually a really good song, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
That's probably my favorite episode with the...
God, there's so many good ones.
Where's that kid who always talks weird that Brandon Small does the voice for? And he gets hit with the EpiPen and just starts vibrating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Melissa thinks that he saved her life. And so we get Mr. Lynch as the cat, and he has like six cats and is like obsessed with cats. So he's like
very sad man.
Yeah, he's super creepy as this cat. And apparently Brendan wanted to be a cat, and he becomes a shitty fish.
He worked in his cat costume for 6 months.
And like makes a fish costume in a day,
yeah.
Basically.
It was a pretty good fish costume.
That's true.
It wasn't terrible.
Another good scene in this is, I always enjoy Lynch's and McGurk's interactions and their relationship.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
McGurk
so
hates him.
Yeah. But like needs him sometimes. With, like, yeah, they kind of have this weird love hate relationship where neither of them actually have any friends.
Yeah.
And so they're the only ones each other can go to. But there's a great creepy scene where he's trying to be a cat.
He licks him like 3 times. Yeah, I think I like the interactions between McGurk and Melissa's dad more, the Jonathan Katz. Played her dad in earlier seasons, but he doesn't show up a little bit later on.
Yeah.
As much. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. I also find it interesting that, like, most of the characters don't have noses, but, like, Brendan does, and then we get the doctor with the great gag of...
Yeah, it's Halloween, so they go to the doctor when Linda starts giving birth, and he's got Groucho Marx glasses and nose and cigar all built into this costume. Linda takes them off, and he has Groucho Marx nose and eyebrows and mustache anyway.
Right. Not as extreme, but
right.
Still there. And glasses. He has glasses on under those.
And the doctor was played by Tom Kenny, who, of course, is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Mm.
And the Ice King and a million other voices.
Yeah, so great, great episode, I think. So
I like the classic sitcom conventions of a pregnant woman eating weird food.
Uh-huh.
Because she kept eating a bucket of chicken legs and dipping them in a jar of butterscotch sauce.
Uh-huh.
Which is gross. And of course there was Lamaze class, which, is that even a thing? Do people still do Lamaze classes?
Yeah. But we get one of the best jokes in the episode there where she, and it's like a kind of throwaway. They're like kind of changing scenes as she says it.
Yeah, because Brendan decides to go with her because his father is out of town. So he goes with his stepmom to her Lamaze class and is coloring a bee while she's trying to do her breathing.
And she's like, this is what I get for getting knocked up by an 8-year-old.
Yeah, after he says, do it yourself, you lazy ass.
Yeah. I just love their dynamic because I think one of the things that makes this show so good is you do have these childlike characters. Jason and Melissa, like, they're... Well, Melissa's mature, but, like, it's very childlike. You know, they make these home movies, and they have to watch a cat or, like, play soccer. Like, it's very childlike things that they do. But then Brendan's whole dynamic is, like, he's treated like an adult constantly by his mom, by
Everyone
Coach
talks
McGurk.
To him like he's an adult.
Yes. Talking about McGurk not having any friends, Brendan is his best friend. Like, he's the one he calls and has go on adventures with him and stuff. So that's part of why this... series is so good, because you get this kid-like show, like, when it's just written on paper, it sounds like, oh, this is going to be like any other kind of kid-based show, but it's this weird dynamic of he's the man of the house kind of thing.
Well, and the other side of it is, Well, I think that's a big part of it, is that from the onset, he's the man of the house, because his dad is out of the picture for the first two seasons, so he kind of has to, you know, be his own father figure, I guess, or use kind of cinema as a whole to be his father figure, or Coach McGurk, I guess, to some extent. Mm-hmm. But, like, all of the adult characters in the show are the kids. Because, like, yes. Melissa's dad is always goofing around and very innocent, acting like
true.
A kid. His mom, what is his mom's name?
Paula. She's a mess.
Right, and she was originally played by Paula Poundstone, but this is after Paula Poundstone left the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's played by someone whose name isn't Paul.
Yeah, they should only be able to hire people who have the name of the character that they want. And it's funny because in season one, you know, episode one, she mentions, like, she's going to go on a date with McGurk, and she mentions, like, newly divorced women are supposed to go on dates. That's what she says to Brit. So, like, you get this idea, like, oh, it's like a newly divorced situation. And she says to your father, they don't really explain if Josie has the same father or if she's adopted.
Oh, and it's true. Josie's got the same father.
Okay.
Though, yeah, you would think Louis C.K.'s character would be around to take care of his infant child a little
right.
bit more.
Right. So he's obviously a terrible person because he just, like, abandons his family. Because when
he's, like, a lawyer and he's, like, rich.
Yeah. Well, because they say, like, newly divorced. So, like, it makes it seem like it happened recently. Obviously, there's an infant child. So, if that is his child and not, like, the reason they got divorced or something.
Does he have a different skin tone than the
rest? Right. Yeah. Oops. So, Paula had a baby with someone else. Yeah. Get divorced. I don't know. But they don't ever explain that.
I feel like that would have come up if that was the case.
Right. But he's always referred to as Brendan's father. Like, they don't really point out if it's Josie's father.
Yeah. Nobody gives much attention to Josie unless she's sticking marbles up her nose.
Oh, that's a great episode. But
don't
then...
shove marbles in your nose. Don't shove them in.
And then it just makes everyone shove marbles in their nose.
Yeah.
But when his father does come up, Brendan is, like, terrified to talk to him. Like, he's really nervous. It's like he hasn't seen him in forever.
Well, I think that's the season finale. Like, that's kind of symbolically where the show grows up. Because at the end of Squiggle Vision, like, season one, season two are Squiggle Vision.
Yeah.
At the end of season two, the season finale is when
he gets a call from his dad.
And he's, like, finally rejoins. And I think that's when it went from UPN to Adult Swim. And I think there was years gap between the two.
Or was it got canceled after 5 episodes.
Oh, so it didn't make the second season.
So, yeah. But, yeah, they definitely changed. They obviously eased into their spot on Adult Swim a little bit more after that point.
I think they hit the ground running.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's like one of those stories you want to find out what actually happened with that dad and you don't. And, like, the baby and all of that. But excellent show.
That's not funny. I don't want to know about that.
Not everything has to be funny, Jeremy.
Okay. Some other things from this episode. Coach McGurk, we learn he lives on Lonely Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And his life is very sad. His coffee table is a plank of wood on top of his favorite beer, Black Hole Brew.
Mm-hmm.
He's answers the door in, like, an open shirt and is still wearing his whistle. So even though he finally lets us know at the end of this episode that he doesn't know how to play soccer and he's never played soccer, he still sleeps with his whistle, which shows a certain level of commitment to the profession of coaching, but just not to...
It's always funny to me that he's the coach, yet he's there as if he's a teacher. He's not, like, the gym teacher or anything, but he's, like, always at the school just to coach soccer after school.
Yeah, and he's always out in the field just after school, but occasionally he'll just be in the lounge eating an entire apple strudel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny that you mentioned the wedding episode, because Stephanie, that McGurk meets and has a heart attack while starting to bone down with.
Bone down?
Is a character that he meets at Brendan's dad's wedding.
Yeah, so Stephanie is a character that was Paula's friend kind of when she was married previously and kind of got a little bit estranged from. And so she comes up in that episode and it's kind of shitty. She's, like, going through a divorce and is drunk and tries to sleep with McGurk and basically freaks him out. So she comes back here and she's into crystals and...
Yeah, shaved her head.
So they reconnect and, yeah. And then she...
It was great.
Except, and he has a heart attack, and then she reveals that she has, like, killed somebody by having a heart attack during sex before, so she runs away
standard,
at that point.
Standard kids animation plot. And, of course, Jason is effectively a smack addict for candy.
Yeah. And that comes up in multiple episodes, really.
Yeah, and that's another thing where they Melissa and Jason act very adult-like, because Jason kind of loses it and falls off the wagon and starts rampaging with his, candy corn sticking out of his teeth.
Oh, yeah. Great art.
Yeah, running around, and she slaps the hell out of him.
Yeah, and keeps slapping him once he's calm. They have a great dynamic. In other episodes, Jason reveals that they're going to get married. Like, they kind of have this... He has a crush on her this whole time, and she feels like she needs to take care of him.
Yeah.
So they're always...
But it's a loving dynamic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
But it's like a very dramatic married couple.
Yeah.
Like, they love each other, but they're also constantly just like, why are you doing this? Uh-huh. Why are you destroying my life?
Well, Jason's always interesting, too, because he's like the one character we don't really get to see his perspective on things. Like, we don't get
we never see his
family. We hear about them sometimes.
We know he's rich, right?
I don't remember that, but I do remember at one point he is on like the phone with his mom, and he has to explain that he's making a movie. It's been like seasons in, and he's never told his family that he makes movies, or he's friends with Melissa or Brendan. So we get this like he's living this double life kind of scheme going on.
Or he just doesn't find what they do interesting enough to pass on to his parents. Yeah. He's just like, it's just what we do with Brendan. We humor him.
And, like, where do his parents think he is all this time if they don't know who Brendan is or Melissa?
Good episode, though. Yeah. A lot of hilarious moments.
So easy, what did you...
Easy to watch. That one's on Hulu.
Yeah, so that's on Hulu right now. It's been on Netflix in the past, so that's the thing with cartoons. You have to kind
of... Yeah, some of them are easier to watch, some of them aren't. Beetlejuice, that episode that we watched, I think that was on Dailymotion, so that's... questionably legal. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah, and of course, sometimes you can search things on YouTube, too.
Yeah. Well, and those, yeah.
Quality is not always there.
Those Beetlejuice episodes, I think Shoutcast bought the rights to them in 2013, so they are available on DVD on Amazon.
Yeah, and most episodes you can always, that we talk about, you can always get them on Amazon, but you have to actually pay for them.
Now, my cartoon for next week, though, that one has been wiped, but we'll talk
really?
About that next week.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. I'm excited. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah. So, those are our shows for this week. Now, let's hop into some Booberry.
Booberry discussion. So, we both, neither of us have had Booberry before. We talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it was... very similar to the Frankenberry, where Frankenberry is supposed to be strawberry-based, Booberry is supposed to be blueberry-based, or I guess it just says berry.
It just
berry.
Says berry. Mixed berry, probably.
Yeah. So, it's probably reusing some of the red marshmallows from Frankenberry.
Right. So, it wasn't that as berry-flavored as I thought it was going to be, so, I don't know, it kind of seemed like a throwaway to me.
Yeah. Let's see here. So these cereals were introduced in 1971, with the tagline, "I want to eat your cereal." They were originally, like I said last week, there's Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Booberry are the current ones, and they've, long discontinued, Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, which were both, fruity cereals. So it seems like everything but,
I don't remember Fruit Brute at all.
Yeah, it's like a werewolf. That hasn't been around since the 70s.
But,
discontinued in 1982, relaunched in 2013.
And then, no.
But yeah, they all have those same ghost-shaped marshmallows. So they are, like you guessed last week that they were supposed to be ghosts, like Pac-Man-shaped ghosts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yummy Mummy sounds like I remember that name, but...
Yeah. In 2010, Betty Crocker released Frankenberry and Booberry Fruit Roll-Ups.
Ooh.
And Count Chocula Cereal Bars. Yeah, so these are big, General Mills properties that they kind of towed out in various forms every year for Halloween.
Yeah, so even on the box it says back for Halloween. So it's not, like, I feel like Count Chocula you can get year-round. Although, like I said, it wasn't at my grocery store this time where Frankenberry and Boo Berry were. And maybe they just kind of trade them out for Halloween. I don't know. But it seems like these cereals only come around for Halloween. So it's good to experience them once in a life.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about, a big part of kid cereal culture, I guess, from when we were that age, are prizes. And kids' cereals don't have prizes anymore.
And even, like, the back of the box used to be, like, a thing. Like,
yeah, it would have a maze or a mask. Mm-hmm. Like, especially for a Halloween cereal, you'd think they would do, like, one of those cutout masks that poor children can wear.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, they're kind of cheap and boring now. And you also used to have, like, stuff you could send in for, like a watch or...
Yeah, you know that R2-D2 bowl that I have? That I usually keep candy or chips in or whatever?
Okay.
You don't come over enough. but yeah, that was box tops I sent away in like 2010, I think. I collected box tops to get that.
Yeah. Like that used to be way more of a thing.
Yeah.
But even you used to be able to like cut something off and like fill it out and put money in to get a prize bag. Like it wasn't even like you had to buy a bunch of their cereal. It was just like buy this watch.
Yeah. And there were just like toys in the bottom of the box.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was always the crazy thing is that they didn't put it in the box. They put it in the bag of cereal, so it was like covered in cereal dust by
the
time we got to it.
Oh yeah. But it was like, well, that's the whole idea. It's like who gets to pour the prize into their cereal bowl. Like,
oh no, you just dig in.
No. You're supposed to like win the prize. Like
my brother and I were animals. We just went for it. But yeah, it says on Wikipedia, Monster cereals were known for their wide variety of both in-pack and mail-away cereal premiums, including posters, paint sets, speedster cars, parachutes, and vinyl advertising figures. Paint sets. I hope that would be a mail-away one. You wouldn't want to put a bunch of paint.
That's what happened. It was like lead paint in your cereal.
Yeah, maybe it's a good thing there aren't prizes in cereal anymore.
They probably were covered in like toxic things.
They usually put the prizes in a secondary plastic bag.
That's true.
But yeah, I remember when it was mystery prizes in the 90s, and you'd fish it out, and it was like a piece of paper or something. Like it was a sticker, and I was like, "Well, this is a bunch of crap."
Yeah,
it's like I was expecting a toy.
It makes me think of a cartoon episode of Simpsons where he gets like a sheriff badge, and Homer's the one who gets it, and Bart's like, "What the hell, man?"
Was it a Simpsons one? I remember some cartoon having a plot where they got a submarine out of a box of cereal, and the submarine would go up and down. Was that a SpongeBob thing?
I don't remember that one. Mm. But yeah, now it's funny because that's probably like something that's been used in cartoons that if kids nowadays go back and watch, they're like, what the hell? Why is there a prize in this? I don't get that.
That's cereal. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to bring that back.
Yeah.
Campaign.
I guess they just want cereal to be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, cereal is the one thing where it's still, like, the same price it was in the 80s. It's still, like, under $3 for a box of cereal, which is effectively, like, 5 meals worth of food, so.
True.
I guess as long as they keep the price down.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you think a company could, like, be the fun company?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, market that.
If it's going to be anything, I don't think it's going to be General Mills.
No.
Like, they make cartoon characters, but they're not classically fun.
True. Well, it was fine. I ate 2 bowls of it, but I wouldn't buy it again.
Yeah, it's not that great. I'm worried about this aspect of our podcast where we review these cereals, because it seems like the cereals is like, yeah, it's fine. Do we even like cereal? Is this something that we like?
I think it's fun because I don't eat cereal normally, so it's kind of fun to try different things.
Okay. But yeah, we couldn't really taste the berry, and the marshmallows were fine.
Yeah.
And then the milk didn't really taste like Boo Berry or anything, it just kind of tasted like milk.
But it's also fun as a kid who wasn't allowed to have cereal to be able to indulge in these candy cereals that, as an adult, I also wouldn't buy as, like, my breakfast or something.
Yeah, but also they've reformulated all of these because they are like, you know, gluten-free and much more healthy now.
11 whole grains per serving.
Yeah, screw that. I want sugar.
And they're giving back to Box Tops for Education. Oh, well, that's been around forever.
Yeah, very, very wholesome. Cereal is very healthy now, I guess.
Yeah, they're just on the box, yeah. On the back, it has all their pictures of General Mills characters. This party's
also haunted. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, you know what? This is a game on the back. It says, can you find all 10 hidden ghosts? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, this is great for the listeners.
I'm just saying, I lied. It is a game on the back. Okay, so.
Yeah.
At least there's that.
I do find it weird that they have the Pillsbury Doughboy included as one of their fun cereal characters. It's like, I don't think he has a muffin cereal or something.
Yeah, that's... I mean, he does breakfast. Just like cinnamon rolls and shit.
Yeah, but not a cereal.
No, you're right.
Also, why...
But hey, everyone's invited to the Monster Bash.
Yeah. And I like the switching there where... Count Chocula is dressed as Frankenberry. Frankenberry is dressed as Booberry, and Booberry is dressed as Count Chocula.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. So they're
dressing
awesome.
As each other for Halloween.
Yeah. All right. Enough about cereal.
Yeah. I mean, should we rate it out of spoons? Out of 5 spoons, how much would you give this?
Oh, can we do out of 10 spoons? I need more.
You need more granularity.
Yeah.
You do half spoons. How about out of 10? Okay.
Okay. I would give it 4 spoons out of 10.
Yeah. I'd say 3 or 4 spoons. I'll do 4 spoons. It's fine.
So did we rate Frankenberry?
No.
I would give that 5 spoons or 4.5. I thought it was better than Blueberry.
I think 5 spoons would probably be mine, because you could definitely taste more of the strawberry flavor than you can with this one, with the supposed blueberry flavor. Especially in the marshmallows, because the marshmallows were all strawberry.
Yeah, so it kind of just was a indistinguishable flavor this time, whereas that Frankenberry was a clear flavor, yeah.
Okay, well, that's the end of episode 2 of the Saturday Morning Tooncast. Danielle, do you want to tell people where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitch. I stream pretty regularly under D Yeager, Y-E-A-G-E-R, 88. You can also find me as Danielle Yeager on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. If you search my name, you should be able to find me.
What are you streaming these days?
Most recently, I've been streaming Don't Starve Shipwreck.
I've been playing Oxygen Not Included again. Have you played since they put the oil update in?
I haven't. I need to. I just really suck at that game.
I get obsessed with it. I play for hours.
Yeah, I need to stream that next. The problem right now is that cannot be played on an Apple.
Oh.
And I've been streaming on my laptop because my office is not quite set up yet. So once I get set up, I'm going to stream some Oxygen Not Included for sure.
Cool. And I am ZenMunkin on Twitter. That's pretty much it. I'm also hosting another podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network called Red Shirts and Runabouts, where we are watching and reviewing the episodes of the new Star Trek series Discovery on CBS All Access. Okay, well, thanks for watching with us.
And we'll see you next week.